We have come to the end of our series on our completeness in Christ. Today is the second last day. So next week, Sunday, will be our last day on this topic. So we thank God for what He has done in terms of enlightening us on how complete we are before God. And, you know, when you look at it like that, it makes it easy for us then just to flow with God. Because we know that God does not look at us based on our actions or our lack of action. God looks at us through Jesus Christ, through what Jesus Christ did for us. So as we've been going through this topic, now today we're coming to the point where Apostle Paul is now talking about his sufferings for the sake of the gospel. Now, when we're talking about sufferings for the sake of the gospel, we are not talking about sicknesses and diseases. We're not talking about poverty. We're not talking about all those things, because when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He paid the price for those things. The Bible says when He died on the cross, He took our sicknesses and diseases with Him. And the Bible says by His stripes we were healed. So we can't say suffering for the gospel has anything to do with us being sick in our bodies. We are not suffering for the gospel when that happens. The enemy is trying to destroy us. That is why the Bible says then resist him and he will flee. Resist him. Submit yourself to God and resist him and he will flee. So when sicknesses and disease come our way, we stand up and we resist. We don't accept it. We don't say it is from the Lord. Because Jesus Christ, the atonement that He did for us, He paid for our sicknesses and diseases. I was reading yesterday the book of Hebrews, where the Bible talks about Jesus Christ taking away our sins. And with Him taking away our sins, then making us to benefit in this present world. So our benefit for what Jesus Christ did for us, it is not for the future. But in this present world, this present evil world, we can benefit from what Jesus Christ did for us. So poverty is not suffering for the Lord. Sickness and diseases, they are not from the Lord. The Bible says Jesus Christ became poor so that we might be made rich. That's what the Bible says. So we can't accept poverty and say we are suffering for the Lord. But the Bible says something. It says with prosperity, us prospering in the Lord and getting what God has given to us, the Bible says persecutions will come. And Apostle Paul, everywhere he went, he was persecuted for the sake of the gospel. He was stoned to death and came back to life because it was not his time to die. At some point he said, I am torn in between. I don't know whether I should go to be with the Lord or I should stay and be here with you. Then he said, but I am choosing to stay here with you because you need me. So that man was making a statement that I am not going to die before my time. And people say, God decides when we will die. The Bible says it is appointed for men once to die. It does not say that there is an appointment date for men to die. Excuse me. So we see Paul suffering, being stoned, being persecuted, being thrown into jail. And when we read here in this book of Ephesians, we gather that he wrote this book when he was in jail. That is the suffering that we will go through for the sake of the gospel. So in other words, we must understand now that as we take a stand for the Lord, God has promised us healing. God has promised us prosperity. God has promised us life and life in abundance. That is what God has promised us. But then Jesus said, as these things come, know that you'll be persecuted, because myself I was persecuted. They hated me, therefore they will hate you. So when you are being hated, being spoken badly for the sake of the gospel, those are the persecutions that the Bible says will come to us. So this is what we are seeing now. So today we are on part 14 of this series entitled "We Are Complete in Christ." And as I'm saying, next week we'll be doing the last part of the series. So we praise God for the time that we have spent in His Word, the opportunity He has given us to just understand our completeness in God. And now it's our responsibility now to go back to this Word and meditate on it, think on it. Because as you meditate on it, then the Word is taking root into our hearts, and it will surely bear fruit. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's start with our foundation scripture, Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So everything that we come across and interpret when it comes to the Word of God, we interpret it through Christ. Is this after Christ had come, or this is before Christ came? So everything that happened before Christ came, then let's look and see. How does it fit into Christ coming? Then we adjust that thing according to Christ. That's why as well, when we take the Bible, when the Bible talks about the law, the Bible says the law was supposed to be there until the Son comes. That's what the book of Galatians says. So when the Son then came, what happened? Romans chapter 7 verse 6, then the Holy Spirit took over. Now we are guided by the Holy Spirit. So there is that understanding that we're flowing with everything. We take what the Israelites had to do before Jesus Christ came. We look at everything that they were doing to worship the Lord, to serve the Lord, to be cleansed before the Lord. The Bible says that when Christ came, the Messiah, then what happened? Christ fulfilled all the practices that they were doing to reach to God. So then now Christ, the Bible says, has become their Sabbath and our Sabbath. What does it mean? It means now we've come to a place where we are at rest now. We don't have to perform. Christ has fulfilled everything. He has completed everything. So we interpret everything according to Christ. And verse 9, excuse me, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. So it's not us that are claiming to be complete before God, but it is the word that tells us that we are complete in Christ. Not in what we do, but in what Christ has done for us. So salvation has come to us because of what Christ has done. Praise be to God. No more works for us. No more trying to please the Lord. No more trying to win his heart. No more trying to get him to bless us. No more, no more. We are complete in Christ. Now, today we are going to read Ephesians chapter 1, or chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. I am using a different version today, New Living Translation, intentionally because of how it explains this. And as well, it's going to minimize as well me trying to explain certain things. So I'll just go through this thing very, very fast because of how simple this version is. Talking about us who are not English people. Verse 1. When I think of all this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ, for the benefit of you, Gentiles. Check this out. He says he's a prisoner of Christ. Where was Paul? He was in a Roman cell, in a Roman jail. Paul decides to say, I am not going to look at the Romans as the people that have put me here. But he says, I am put into this cell because of Christ. I am a prisoner of Christ. So his perception of what he was going through was different to what many people would see. When we start looking at people that persecute us for the sake of the gospel and understand and be like Philip, who said, Lord, they know not what they are doing, forgive them. Just like Jesus said as well. When we start looking at what we are getting coming from them and understanding that it doesn't come from them, but it has come because of the sake of the gospel. And the Bible says when we suffer with him, what will happen is there is a reward that is coming for us. Then all of a sudden we stop mourning and complaining about the sufferings that the devil brings to us. Our perspective is completely different. And then we can start celebrating. When the devil attacks us for the sake of the gospel, you know, when you look at the article that we have on Facebook right now, we're speaking there about the word that has come and then persecutions and tribulation coming for the sake of the word. So the devil may try to bring stuff to you for the sake of the word. If you stand on the word of God for healing, what do you think the devil will do? He's going to try and bring sicknesses and diseases your way. That is why the Bible says, resist ye him, steadfast in God. So when those things come our way, when we understand that the devil is now attacking us because of our belief that God is our healing. So what happens? All of a sudden, we are able to then just stand on the word of God and trust God to bring that word to pass.
Amen.
So Paul is saying, I am a prisoner of Christ. And then he says, I'm a prisoner of Christ for what? For your benefit. How are they benefiting out of this? Think about it. Think about how are these guys benefiting out of what Paul is preaching. He's preaching Christ. So how are they benefiting? They are benefiting in getting to know the truth about their salvation, about their redemption.
Amen.
Verse 2, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending His grace to you, Gentiles. Special responsibility. Now you must remember, in the book of Galatians chapter 1, Paul talks about God giving him this message through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself appearing to him and giving him this message of grace that had to be preached to the Gentiles. Specifically given to him. And he says in Galatians chapter 1, he said, when he was given that message, he did not confer with any flesh. He went straight ahead to the Gentiles. And in Acts chapter 15, we find the council sitting down because people are saying, what is this thing? What is this thing you preaching the gospel to the Gentiles? This is meant for the Jews. It's not meant for the Gentiles. And then they came in and Paul went to present to the council to tell them what the Lord is doing among the Gentiles. And Paul was saying, what is happening among the Gentiles, it is of the Lord. It's not of me. So seemingly God has also accepted them as well. And then during that conversation, Peter stood up and he said, brethren, you will remember that God also used me to be the first one to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. When he sent me to Cornelius, and when I went to Cornelius and I preached the gospel to them, God honoring their hearts, that's what the Bible says, God honoring their hearts, he gave them the Holy Spirit the way that he gave us the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we cannot stand in God's way. God has approved that the Gentiles as well receive this gospel of grace. It is not only for us.
Amen.
And then Apostle James, who was the head then, stood up and said, I take the decision that we must not put the Gentile believers under the yoke. Because now the issue there was, they wanted those Gentile believers that received Christ to follow the rules that were followed by the Israelites. So then they came to a point to say, or Peter said, why do we want to put the same yoke that our fathers failed to carry? Why do we put it on them? We too as well have failed to carry this yoke. So why do we force the Gentiles to carry this yoke? So the point was to say, we must not put a yoke on these people. We must release them. They must not try to live according to the rules that we had, that our fathers failed to live according to, that we ourselves as well have failed to live according to. Praise be to God. So this gospel God gave this man, this special responsibility to preach the gospel of grace, and Paul preached nothing else but the grace of God. And it's so amazing how God took a Pharisee, a learned man in the law, a man that had tried to live according to the law. God took that man and he went to teach people how to live by grace, by not following the law, but accepting what Jesus Christ had done for them. He was the perfect person to preach the gospel of grace, because he himself had experienced this grace. He had tried to live upright before God according to law, to the law. He failed. And then he said, I know what the Lord is saying to me. And he preached with conviction, and he was committed to that message because he knew what it did for him. It was never about his works. He says, I count it all dung. His qualifications and the law and his works, what he did. He said, I count it all dung. Special calling. Special calling. When we are called into the grace of the Lord, we call to a place where we have to understand that it is completely out of our hands to be saved. It's only by the grace of God. Once we acknowledge that, then we can walk with the Lord. While we still feel like we are fine, we are happy, you know what happens? Nothing happens. You know, this is like when they say, when you find a person drowning, they say you must let that person come to a point where they have given up. And only then try to carry them and take them out. Because while they are still striving, trying to come out, what they will do, they will push you and drown with you. That is why what they do at times is when they find somebody still struggling and trying to come out of the water, they knock the person off. They knock the person out. Knock him out. Let him be unconscious. Because while he's trying on his own, he can hit you, he can push you down, and you drown together. So let the person come to a point where they are flat and accepting the fact that they are drowning. And when they accept that fact, then you can easily take them out. That is how it works with God. While we are trying to do it in our own strength, we believe that we can live up to God's standards. And then try and please him and be acceptable according to what we are doing. You know what? We are not going to receive the free salvation that is given to us. So come to a point where you completely abandon all your qualification, all your works. Be like Paul. And I can tell you, God will grant you that message of grace. When you forget about yourself. Verse 3. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. Mysterious plan. God had a mysterious plan. And he says he revealed it to me. Galatians chapter 1, he tells that story. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. This mysterious plan is regarding who? Christ. Christ is the center of our belief. Center. Our direction comes from Christ. It does not come from a bishop. It does not come from our parents. It does not come from our society. It comes from Christ. Verse 5, God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostles and prophets. Verse 6, and this is God's plan. Let's look at this plan. What is this plan? Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are part of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. Woo! This was a mystery. The Jewish people who lived before Christ came, they did not understand this. It was a mystery. There are prophecies. that speak about Christ coming and him becoming the Messiah for the Jewish nation, but as well as the whole world, but they could not grasp it. And the other thing that you must understand, by that time, the Bible says they did not have the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to teach us everything. They did not have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. The Holy Spirit would come upon them for the function that God had called them to do. When you read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I think verse 14, the Bible says, the spiritual things are foolish to a man that does not have the Holy Spirit, if a man that is still in the flesh. So they could not. So you find then in the Bible the prophecies, several prophecies about Jesus Christ being the Messiah. But what happened when Jesus Christ appeared, the people that were supposed to see him, identify him, the Pharisees and the scribes, people who were learned, who knew the law, who knew the word of God, they could not see Christ. Why? Because their eyes were not open by that time. They did not have the Holy Spirit. And God had said to them, if you seek me, you will find me. And they were not seeking him. They were seeking to be accepted before him by doing things to please him. Not seeking him. And then God said, you know, these people, they just serve me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Jesus Christ called them hypocrites. He said, they are hypocrites. He says, when it is time to pray, they make noise, they ring a bell and make people ready. And they go in the streets and they pray with everybody watching them. He said they have received their reward. He called them hypocrites. To them, it was now all about what? Performance. It was no longer about God. So when Christ came, they could not see him. It just did not make sense. Even though the scriptures were clear, explaining how Christ would appear and what he would do. It was clear, but they could not see because they chose not to. So it was a mystery to them. And this mystery is the fact that both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news, not anyone, who believe the good news, they share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. So everything that is for God's children, it is open now to both Jews and Gentiles equally. Hallelujah. As long as they believe in Christ. Amen. And then he says, and both now are part of the same body. Look at this. God now decided to do away with this separation, which was the Jews this side, and this side you have what? The Gentiles. He did away with that separation, and he created one body. So it's not that now the Jews have to leave their practice and start practicing what the Gentiles were practicing. It's not that the Gentiles now have to leave their practice and start practicing what the Jews were practicing. No, it's a new body. It's a new body. It's a completely new body. And now you can understand why Israel find it difficult to receive this Christ if they have not received the enlightenment, because remember their traditions that were handed over to them by their forefathers, that was powerful to them. There was something to them. You know, we have exactly the same thing as well. We say we cannot leave what our forefathers told us and go and follow this Jesus of white men. That's what black people say. Exactly what the Jewish people say as well. They cannot leave the traditions that were handed over to them by their forefathers. Black people say we cannot leave our traditions. Now, this is now the decision that a man makes to say, I am choosing God. I am choosing God and I'm following God. And when I receive Christ, I am not receiving the God of the Jews. When I receive Christ as a Jew, I am not receiving the God of the Gentiles. I am receiving the God Almighty who created us all and now has joined us together into this one body. We are now equal. And then when we come to Christ, then we all then live according to Christ, not according to our traditions. Praise be to God. So what it means then, the promise of God to Abraham, I will make you what the heir of the world, it's to all the seed. All the seed. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 says, if we are in Christ, then we are blessed with the father Abraham. We are heirs together with Abraham. Because we are in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Romans 8. Verse 16 to 17, it's talking about the fact that now we are joint heirs with Jesus. Now look at that. Look at that now. This is another level. It's something for the Jews and the Gentiles coming together, and now the Gentiles being exposed to all the blessings that God had given to the Jewish people before. So now the Gentiles can access now those blessings and enjoy them. But then now it's something else. When the Bible says we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that's another level. It's a level higher now. So everything that belongs to Jesus Christ, everything that belongs to Jesus Christ belongs to you and I. That's what the word says, means when it's talking about us being joined as. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us. Is the Father unhappy with Jesus? No. Is the Father angry at Jesus? No. Would the Father let Jesus go hungry? No. Would the Father punish Jesus with sicknesses and diseases? No. So everything that Jesus gets, we get. Joint heirs with Jesus. This is high above. This is above, so we must not try to understand it with our minds. We must receive it by the Spirit. The Word of God has said it. I take it. It is so, and receive it. And then what do? I work it. I meditate on that Word. Meditate on that Word. And as I meditate on that Word, I know that the Word has come into my heart. My heart is like a soil. And then what do? Then I look after my soil. The soil. I praise the Lord. I thank the Lord. I do not allow things of the devil to come in. In other words, I just work on my soil to make sure that it allows the seed to germinate and give birth. Praise be to God. Verse 7. By God's grace, this is beautiful. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. By God's grace, it is not my doing. I did not choose. I did not call myself to go and preach this gospel of grace. God is the one who called me. And that is what happens with all of us. The Bible says, you know what Ephesians chapter 4 says? The Bible says God has set the fivefold ministry in the body of Christ to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. The saints think the fivefold is, or are the people that are in the ministry. But that verse says no. It says we are all in the ministry. The saints are in the ministry as well, called by God. So it is by God's grace that you have been called and given the mandate that you have in your sphere of influence. Wherever you are, God has called you to that area to preach the gospel of grace. You cannot preach any other gospel. The gospel of grace, you are called yourself. Verse 8. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, He graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. Is he lying here, this man of God? This is Paul that we're talking about. Is he talking a lie here? When he says, I am the least deserving of all God's people. Is he lying? You know what we say? We say, that was Paul. And we put him up there. And we say, we are serving God, we are walking with God, but we'll never come up to Paul's level. He says, I'm the least deserving of all God's people. This man came to a point where he completely understood. He had his works and tried to put it against Jesus' work that he did, and he could see that his works come to nothing. They mean absolutely nothing. Therefore, whatever he does, whatever he did in the past, whatever we'll do in the future, it is zero. Zero. And he felt honored to be called by God to preach this gospel of grace to the people that God had called to receive this grace. When we become aware of our unqualified state of being unqualified to deserve anything from God, when we become aware of that, we stop seeing ourselves better than others. We come to a point where we understand that we are all equal before God. And we become willing to serve others. We are allowing them, we can allow them to be higher than us, to be better than us. They do stuff and we accept them and we receive them for who they are, and we're willing to do anything possible to help them. So as a helper, as a servant, the one who's trying to help these people, therefore you are saying, the message is, I'm not bigger than you. I'm not better than you. What did Jesus Christ say? He said, those who want to be leaders must what? Serve. And he himself, he took a towel and he took water and he went and he washed the feet of his disciples. He said, that's what leaders should do. So it's not about the moment you become a leader, it's not about your elevation and you are the man of God. And we change. It's no longer a man of God, it's a man of God. Man of God. Men are God. Hallelujah. Men are God. That's not in the word. Check what Paul said. So the men are God. is supposed to come and say, I am the least deserving. And not, give me all the glory. Give me all the glory. Give me all the praise. I'm your man of God. You need me. Without me, you cannot get to heaven. Without me, you will never be blessed. And then he says, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles, woo, we are blessed, telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them. Where? In Christ. We are complete where? In Christ. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And verse 9, I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan. It was a plan. It was a plan. God, it didn't just happen. God worked it and he came up with this plan. It was a plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Now remember, the Bible says what? It says, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. Amen. But they just kept it a mystery. Oh. Until Jesus Christ appeared. Amen. And until Jesus Christ came to Peter and he said to Peter, eat. You remember his vision that he had? Bringing the animals, all kinds of animals. And then, and God was saying to Peter, eat. And then Peter said, I do not eat defiled food. And then what did God say? He said, what did God say? God said, he said, don't call defiled. Don't call defiled what I call holy. God was introducing this message. Now he's saying, now you always considered the Gentiles as unholy, not allowed to come in. Because you must remember now, all those practices, God telling the Jewish people, saying to them, don't eat this food, eat this food. He was making a distinction between them and those who had not received God. All those things were the messages to them, for them to understand how holy they were, how separated they were from the rest. They were unique. They were a unique nation to God. So now God comes to Peter and he says, don't call unholy what I call holy. God has broken that separation. Everything now that was unholy now has become holy in Christ. I'm loving this. I'm loving this. Verse 10. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Ah, it's not only the Jewish people that did not see this thing coming, but the Bible says even the devils, the devil himself, Satan himself, and his cohorts, they too did not see the secret. That's why the Bible says if they knew, they would not have killed Jesus Christ. Yeah. If they knew that killing Jesus Christ was going to destroy them, because the Son of Man came to do what? To destroy the works of the enemy. That was his purpose. So, and how did he do that? He accomplished that through his death. Because his death cleared all men of all sin. And all of a sudden, Satan has got nothing to charge God's people with. He stands as the accuser and there is nothing to charge them with, because Jesus Christ paid for all their sins, and with him having paid for all their sins, so they are clean and clear before God. So in the court of God, they stand and they are declared free. Hallelujah. Completely free. So, but the devil did not see that. So now what is happening is now, then we, the church, have now received this truth now. So then God is using us now to reveal his manifold wisdom. All of a sudden we are ruling and reigning through Christ, having received the free gift of righteousness and the abundant grace, Romans chapter 5. Look at that. So now then the devils are getting to understand this thing now, but it's too late. It's too late. They can't do anything now. They can't undo the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. They can't undo that. So in Christ, you and I are complete now. We overcome the devil now. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Verse 11. The Bible says, this was his eternal plan. Eternal. Knows no beginning, no end. It was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So the plan of redemption was not an afterthought thing. It was not that man fell and then God said, okay, now I will send Jesus. He's a master. God is a master. God gave man free will. He allowed us to choose and decide because he did not create robots. Understand that. When he did not create robots, therefore he's allowing us to do as we please. So God, when he created us, the Bible says he created us in his image, in his likeness. Therefore, we need to have what? Freedom to choose. So, but when God created us, he saw that in the future, because of the freedom that he gave us, because he created us to be like him, so he saw that in the future, man will choose not to follow him. So then God planned. That's still the love of God, that if it was you and I, what we would probably do would kill that project. We would just destroy the project and say we are not going to go through this pain. Think about this. Jesus Christ, remember when the Lord said, let us make man in our image. Who was he talking about? Who was he talking to? The Holy Spirit and the Son, they were there. Let us make man in our own image, in our likeness. Let us make them. So, what it means, then God knew, when he saw in the plan, he saw that myself, in the form of my Son, will have to die to redeem these people. So you and I could come to a decision to say, I'm not going to do that. We would be selfish and say, we will not create man, so let's create something else. That is not man, which is not like us. Something like a robot, something that we can control. We are not going to create man, if it was you and I. But God saw what was coming and he still went on and he created man in his own image. And he knew that his Son would have to come and die in the place of that man. But God, he's a genius, you must understand. He had one Son. Woo-wee! He had one Son in Jesus. All of a sudden, with the Son dying, now he has many sons. So Jesus Christ was what? A seed. You must understand, God is a master. He's a master. He doesn't have one son anymore. Woo! Jesus Christ is no longer the only Son of God. He is our first. He is his firstborn. That's what the Bible calls him now. He's the firstborn of many brethren. No more the only Son. So when we walk here on earth, we represent God himself because we are his sons and daughters. Sure. I'm getting excited. Sorry for whistling. I'm telling you, God now doesn't have only one son. You must get that right. He has you. He has you. He has you now. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he's not afraid to call us what, brethren. He calls us his brothers. You must remember there's no gender in the spirit. So he does not call us brothers and sisters. Let's just accept he says we are brothers. Let's accept, there's no gender in the spirit. And God the Father, we don't call him God the Mother. Eh? So we're just sticking with what the word says. That's why we say brothers. We don't go sister. And don't feel out of place. There's no gender in the spirit. There's no gender in... Bazalan, are you getting this? Are you getting this, Bazalan?
Yeah.
Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Verse 11. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Now, this is what this version says, because of Christ and our faith in him. But in the Greek, it says, and because of faith of him. You must understand something. We actually do not use our faith. We use the faith of Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16 and 20. It talks about we use what? The faith of Christ. The faith that helps us to get born again. It's not our natural faith. We've explained this before, where we said our natural faith is based on our five senses. Anything that is not seen, it's not in our realm. So in other words, we use a different kind of faith. We can't use our natural faith. So then the Bible says, then faith comes by hearing. So when we hear the word of God, then we receive the faith of Christ.
Amen.
And then the faith of Christ then calls those things that be not as though they were.
Hallelujah.
It's not our natural faith. So then in other words, here the Bible is saying, because of Christ, check this out, and the faith of him, the faith that he gave us, we can now come with boldness and confidence into God's presence. Remember now, we are clean before God. We are pure before God. And above that, we are his sons. We have exactly the same status as Jesus. We just have got different functions. He's got the role of being a God. Not a God, being God as well. And we are human beings. So he's functioning over there. He's the head. The Bible says Christ is the head of the body. So we are his body. We have different functions. But before God now, we are equal. Joined as. Romans 8 verse 17. We are joined as.
Amen.
With Christ. This must sink in, Bazalan. This must sink in. You must listen to these messages over and over and over again. The last verse for today. So, please don't lose heart because of my trials here. He's in jail. He says, don't lose heart because of my trial here. I am suffering for you. So you should feel honored. Let's look at this verse. This is Paul speaking. He says, for I consider, Romans chapter 8 verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Can you see his perspective? When he says, don't worry about my suffering. It's because he is not looking at the suffering, but he's looking at the glory that shall be revealed. We shall be revealed in us. No, it does not say it shall be revealed when we get to heaven. The word says, the glory which shall be revealed in us. So where is that glory already? It's in us already. Christ, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this man is looking beyond what is happening in the natural, and he's looking into the spiritual realm, and he's saying, the suffering that I'm experiencing right now, it cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in me. Who is that? It's Christ. He's our reward for believing. Ooh-wee. The last one, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race may seem long. It may look as if this is taking long. Let us run with what? With endurance, the race that is set before us. Doing what? Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. That is what it says in the Greek. It does not say of our faith. This is a nice interpretation, because now we have received this faith. It has become ours. But who is the author and the finisher of faith? The Alpha and the Omega of faith. It's Jesus. The author and the finisher of faith. And how did he manage to run with endurance, with everything that he went through? You know, at some stage they wanted to throw him off the cliff. We see another example of not dying before your time. They came, they wanted to kill him. The Bible says when they came and wanting to push him off the cliff, it just went through them. Mm-hmm. Paul was not wrong when he said, I've decided to live, not to die. He had seen the example in Christ. Mm-hmm. Christ had done it before. We do these things following his example. This is wonderful. It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, that suffering. Why did he endure that cross? The Bible says Jesus Christ was not looking at the pain that he was feeling at that stage, but he looked into the joy that was set before him. When he's restored back to his father. And he has won many brothers to his father. Ooh, he looked into the future. That is how we endure pain. A mother giving birth to a child. They tell me it's painful. I don't know. I've never experienced it myself. So the mother experiencing that pain, when they've gone through that and it is over, and now they want another child, they don't say, I'm not going to go through that pain again. No, for the joy that is set before them, which is what the child that they want, they're willing to go through any pain. So you are willing to be ridiculed for being called a child of God. For the joy that is set before you. You're willing for people to call you names. And they will call you names. Because you're different to them. But then, for the joy that is set before you, you don't care who says what about you. You just go for what is yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So, no, mzalwane wami, when you go through stuff, Victory is coming.
Amen.
Victory is coming. Just stand your ground. Run the race. Praise be to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's the end of the way today. Let's